Kaladesh. Kala itself means black. Desh means country. Black Country is the name of the next set. Really? Black Country. Okay.
That's right, out-of-context audio clip of Shivam Bhatt. Today we are talking about using the Kaladesh set and the color black in Commander. Sean and Nate will compare their Kumble Console of Allocation decks. Nate drives the Kaladesh vehicles with King Makar the Goldcursed, and Sean plays everyone else's best cards with Gonti, Lord of Luxury. I'm Nate Burgess.
I'm Sean Watson.
And we are Commanderin.
There is some Indian-themed music now. Can you get some sitars over our normal song, Nate?
Hey, I don't know about that. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never ever talk about three banned topics: religion, politics, and Hearthstone. Remember to head over to join our Patreon community at patreon.com/commanderinmtg by donating as little as a buck a show. That would help immensely. It's all we need.
I believe if you follow the Kaladeshian pronunciation guide, it's Patreon. Patreon.
Patreon.
Yes.
This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. You. Yes, you. We're going to talk about using black commanders with Kaladesh. But first, some news. If you go to YouTube and look at Star City Games, their Commander Versus series, you can see they're playing some community decks, including one from Josh Lee Kwai from the Command Zone, the professor at Tolarian Community College, Blake Rasmussen at Daily MTG, and my own Damia Sage of Stone deck. We will provide a link in the show notes to that video. Enjoy. Do we want to talk about Ishai? It's a bird. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. When is Thanksgiving? That's a genuine question. Being English, I don't know.
No, it's always on a Thursday late in November, I think. I think it's Thursday.
Okay, is this episode coming out then? That will be roughly about time. So, Ishai, Archetype Dragon Speaker, that is a bird. She is a bird. She is a bird. I've been brewing this with Bruce Tarl, and it's super easy.
Yep. Bruce Tarl makes things easy.
Yeah, and Ishai gets out of hand fast. You only need to whack in a couple of things like Flying Crane Technique to give a double strike, or Boros Charm, or
True Conviction. Do you play with that?
Yeah, I like to try and play it as a draw go deck, using a lot of counter magic.
Oh, okay.
Because don't forget, it's cast triggers for her +1/+1, so even if you counter the spell, kids, you still get the +1/+1 counters.
Dang!
Onto Ishai. It's just very easy. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have this deck for longer than Thanksgiving lasts. And bearing in mind, I don't know when Thanksgiving starts, this deck might not be a flyer. Eh? Get it?
Nah.
Eh?
You're going to carve it up? Carve up the deck?
Saucy. And by that I mean cranberry sauce. That's a thing, right? Cranberry sauce?
Sure. With the, yeah. And gravy and stuffing.
I think for Thanksgiving this year, bearing in mind recent events in America, you should have a Mexican-themed Thanksgiving feast. Some enchiladas and some tequila. It'll be fun.
Mm. I think some people might be having a Canadian-themed Thanksgiving.
I presume you're going to have the chocolate mousse?
Aye.
Hey, I watched the film Gremlins not so long ago. That's got the chocolate mousse in it. That is Gremlins, right?
Mm.
Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Anyway, that's how good Ishai is. We've started talking about Zach... What's-his-face films? Callahan? If you know which actor starred in the films Gremlins and Gremlins 2, tweet at Ketjack.
Oh, isn't it Phoebe Cates?
Oh, yeah, well, everyone is Phoebe Cates. And Corey Feldman.
Mm.
It's the lead guy, I've forgotten. Well, we should explain where Phil is. Phil is ill.
Mm.
He has a fever.
His whole house has been hit by plague.
Mm. So, I mean, you can probably tell, listeners, that I'm a little bit stuffy, but Phil is unable to talk.
Oh, darn.
We have a couple of rules clarifications that come up from our recent chat group, Nate.
Okay.
Okay, so one was about Saskia, the Unyielding.
Oh, right. Is this about how she's not an Enter the Battlefield trigger?
Yeah, so she does have a triggered ability on her. So some people have been confused with Saskia, the thinking that she has an Enter the Battlefield trigger. But she does not. Enter the Battlefield triggers have three keywords in the sentence that describes them, which are when, whenever, and at. Mm. Saskia has an ability that says as Saskia enters the battlefield. It's close. Just one letter out, though. Just one letter out. So a lot like a clone. When you cast clone, it becomes a copy of another creature as it enters the battlefield. So you couldn't say somehow copy that triggered ability and clone two things, weirdly. It just doesn't work like that. It doesn't trigger off things like Strionic Resonator or Panharmonicon or anything like that. In the Commander 2016
release notes,
it does refer to her triggered ability, and I think this is where some people have got confused.
Yeah.
Her second ability on a card is a triggered ability, which is whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, it deals that much damage to the named player that Saskia named as she entered the battlefield. Oh, God, see, it's hard to even talk about it without using the phrase enter the battlefield.
Right.
That is a triggered ability.
And that can be copied with a Strionic Resonator to do more damage.
Absolutely it can. Yeah, that's if you're mean like that. The second ruling was people talking about Panharmonicon specifically, and I'm going to look into that because there was a lot of conversation about what it triggers, but just for reference, we should probably read Panharmonicon now.
Okie doke. So Panharmonicon is an artifact for 4. If an artifact or creature entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, so that entering the battlefield has to be the reason it triggers, that ability triggers an additional time.
Yes, so I remember this was in reference to creatures. Does it trigger if I cast, for example, an Eternal Witness? Because would the trigger from the Panharmonicon... Oh, sorry, would the trigger from the Eternal Witness double off of the Panharmonicon because the Eternal Witness, is it on the battlefield when the Panharmonicon goes? And the answer is yes. Yes, the Panharmonicon sees the trigger happen and the Eternal Witness is already entered the battlefield when that trigger resolves, so you will get 2 copies or 2 cards back from your graveyard in that instance.
Neat.
Yay. Rules, everyone. Rules. And as you know, I never get rules wrong, ever.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Says the editor who cuts out all the audio. Sometimes minutes at a time.
Listeners, if you've ever heard that, any evidence of NA editing me?
Well, they wouldn't hear it, would they?
No, because he's too good. I mean, because I never make mistakes.
Just cleaning up stuff. Yeah.
So anyway, moving on from how many mistakes I make.
All right, our main topic. We have been planning to air this topic when Kaladesh was still the focus, but it kept getting bumped repeatedly because we had such awesome guests to talk with,
mm-hmm.
And it got bumped until after Commander 2016. So we are talking about Kaladesh while we're in Commander season.
Mm.
So our main topic is using the color black. We're all black mages here, right?
100% of the hosts here today are black mages, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. And we're going to use Kaladesh cards.
Yay!
We have a long show plan. There are a lot of cards to talk about today. We might not read the entire card for most of these. We'll just summarize the common effect and then give a list of card names which apply, which you can then look into yourself.
Hmm. Yes. I suggest Gatherer for that.
Hmm. Mm. So let's start off with Kumbul, Council of Allocation. So, Sean, you saw this commander and you liked it, and I saw this commander and I liked it, and we both made decks.
We did, and we didn't discuss what was going to be our deck, so we could conduct a small experiment and see how our minds work differently.
Yeah, so I plugged the decks into deck stats and did a comparison. That's one of the tools you can do. And our deck lists share 44 identical cards, and that includes, like, the basic lands and stuff.
So quite different, then.
You know, almost half the deck is exactly the same.
Yeah, basic lands, though. I mean, that takes up a chunk of it.
It does take up a chunk of it, yeah. So my deck focuses deep on white life gain and black life drain. So if a card has the word extort on it or a similar effect, it's probably in my deck.
Yeah, my deck looked more around sort of taxing effects. So stuff that was going to punish your opponent for playing in certain ways and then trying to lock down your opponent more and controlling the table to eventually win by having more life than your opponent and using that life to kill someone with something like Hatred.
Mm.
Or tutoring up a quick kill that way.
Or Aether Flux Reservoir.
Aether Flux Reservoir. Yeah, so sticking around long enough to blow someone out.
Yeah. Looking at your deck, I would say you swapped out a lot of the draining effects for more of the standard tutor recursion and removal that I tend to see in a lot of your decks.
Yeah, I do. My Allsoft decks do tend to build a certain way. Now, I do have a reputation for being Mr. Tutor Mages. I'm just counting the number of tutoring that I have here, and it comes in at 5 tutor effects. I have 5 tutor effects.
Yep.
So, pretty. That is quite a lot. They're all black tutor effects to get stuff specific rather than, say, Enlightened Tutor. So I am looking to, I guess I play slightly more combo than you.
Let me check your deck again. I'm expecting to see Sun Titan, Karmic Guide, and Reveal Arc. Are they all in there? Sun Titan is, Karmic Guide is, but not Reveal Arc. Okay.
No, but there wasn't too much low power creature to whip back.
Right.
So I didn't need it, really. It was more to bring back the things like, well, what's in there? So, Angel of Despair, Ashen Rider, things to keep stuff exiled off the table. If you can hear a jingling, listeners, that's because my dog has decided at 4 in the morning when I'm recording this that he really wants my attention, and that's his collar.
I thought we were going into magical Christmas land, but go ahead.
No, no, unless Santa has swapped his reindeer for a large greyhound. But, yeah, I put in some prison effects as well. Did we share the prison effects, Nate? I mean pillow fort effects, like Norn's Annex and Ghostly Prison.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was running Norn's Annex, Ghostly Prison, and then things that, like, Crackdown, that stop your opponent's non-white creatures untapping.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favourites, that one. You don't see it too much. Then No Mercy, which really punishes your opponents for dealing damage to you. And I chucked in Triskaid Decaphobia because if you could pull the win off, it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I notice, let's see, do you have Tree of Perdition in here? Yeah?
I have Tree, because why not?
And you have Soren Markov in here?
In my Planeswalkers, I do. I have 3 of the 4 Sorens.
Yeah, and in that last game we just played, you had Magister Sphinx. Not in this deck, but yeah.
No. My Magister Sphinx was in my Brea Ethereum Shaper deck.
Yeah.
Because, hang on, right, you're painting me to be some horrendous creature.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, to be fair, my Kumbul deck also has Soren Markov and Tree of Perdition and Triskaid Decaphobia.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't make me to look like some sort of evil man.
Oh, why not?
I just want you to be on 10 life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can hit you in the air with a flying 5-5 Sphinx a couple of times. Take an extra turn with my Time Sieve. I've been really enjoying Brea, but that's for a different conversation.
Aye, aye, aye.
Aye, 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 indeed. So your deck, Nate, felt more extorty playing into that keyword.
Yeah, it's heavy on the extort. When I'm trying out a new theme deck, I go heavy on the theme to see which cards work and which cards don't. So the deck list that I have there, it's still an early, unrefined version.
Do you play much Orzhov?
Yeah.
Well, just pure black-white. How experienced with that guild are you?
Let's see, I've got most of the usual Planeswalkers. Let's see, we both have Debt to the Deathless and Exsanguinate, I believe.
We both have Cabal Coffers and Urborg.
Yeah, you don't have Cryptghast. I was surprised at that.
It just dies every time I put it in.
Hmm, okay. Let's see, I have Merciless Eviction, Deathbringer Liege, Drana's Emissary. I've got a few Orzhov cards in here.
Yeah, my point being, I think one of the reasons you alluded to my deck felt more like a deck I would brew, and yours was heavy on a going into a sort of theme mechanic. I play with Orzhov a lot, which means I kind of...
You've already refined.
Yeah, I've refined. I know what I like. I'm like that guy that goes to the same restaurant in his hometown every week, doesn't even need to look at the menu. He could pick three or four different things, and he knows exactly what he's getting, and he knows what he likes, so he does what he likes. And with Campbell, it was like brewing with that, and it's an interesting deck. I put in Hatred, which is a card I really like, but my opponents really ironically hate. Mm. If you've got more life than your opponent, just kill them. Yeah. Oh, Hatred, listeners, sorry, is a black instant for 3 and 2 black. Pay X life, target creature, gains +X/+0 until the end of turn.
So you do that after blocks are declared on some unblocked creature?
Yep, so any unblocked creature, then if you've got more life than your opponent, especially if they're the last opponent, you can just kill them. It's a good finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let me talk about some of the extort tribal cards. That's what I'm calling it. We both have Blind Obedience. It's a good card. We know about it. It makes your opponent's artifacts and creatures enter the battlefield tapped, so it slows everybody down a little bit. It's like an anti-haste. And it also has extort, so whenever you cast a spell, you may pay a black or a white, and if you do, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain that much life. I often forget that Blind Obedience has extort.
I never forget it has extort.
Just because it's just so generally useful. And the same thing goes for Cryptghast. Both of those cards, they're so useful that I have to remind myself that they have extort.
See, I've gone off Cryptghast, so it's obviously very, very good. Doubling the mana production of your swamps. Strong. Strong ability. It just dies every time I play it. Everyone in my paper group is so familiar with what's going to happen, especially in my Orzhov decks, where it's going to go hunt out the Debt to the Deathless or the Exsanguinate or something big and draining. It just gets machine gunned to death.
Well, that might be an evolution of your meta responding to the evolution of your own decks.
I would say it's not might that, it absolutely is that. So I've started removing it. I actually think I slightly prefer Nakana Revenant, which is the same effect, but it's on a 4-4 vampire rather than a 2-2 extorting ghost spirit.
And it costs 4 and 2 black?
It is 4 and 2 black. For 4-4 vampire, it's about average. But it's just a little bit harder to kill.
Hmm. So do you use Cryptghast in your Gonti deck?
I do put Cryptghast in my Gonti deck. Mono black, I think you could have some blowout turns with it. Whereas, I think if you're in a non-mono color deck, you can have a lot of non-swamp lands. So, sometimes doesn't do too much Cryptghast.
Right.
But, you know, each to their own. It's not a bad card, and I'm in no way saying don't put Cryptghast in your decks. Just in my meta, it gets slammed in the face over and over again. So I just thought, oh, I'm going to put something different in. What do you think about the new Blind Obedience?
Authority of the Consoles?
Authority of the Consoles, which is a one-drop blind obedience, so one white, taps creatures as they come in.
Whenever an opponent has a creature enter the battlefield, you gain a life.
Creature, yeah, it's got Soul's Attendant on it. I think I'd put that one into Karlov.
I might put that in a lot of decks. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's solid. You're not going to feel bad dropping that early game, are you?
Nope.
One white, chuck that out there. Stall your opponents. I like anything that switches off haste, because haste is very powerful, and is really the only thing red's got going for it at the moment is haste.
Yeah, and you'll probably have 50 life before anyone can get rid of it.
Yep. Very, very solid. Very solid.
So more on the extort. Pontiff of Blight is a popular critter there. He gives all of the rest of your creatures extort, so you can pay an extra mana for each creature you have and drain another life from everyone. And it's not that you gain one life, it's you gain as much life as is drained with extort.
Yeah, so this was before they started changing these drain effects. Basically, drain effects in recent sets, instead of you gain the total amount of life lost, you gain a set amount, so you gain two life instead of all the life lost this way. So extort was before that shift.
Yeah, Zulaport Cutthroat, you only gain one life instead of gaining one life for each opponent that loses a life.
Yeah, so a very good example of it. And I think that's why extort's so good, because it wasn't made with multiplayer formats in mind.
All right. And Blood Artist, you also gain one life, only one life. And Falconwrath Noble as well.
You do that targets an opponent, doesn't it? Yeah.
No, target player, yes.
Yeah, so you can burn one person rather than everybody.
So a couple more extort creatures that I find useful. Tithe Drinker is not a bad two drop for a black and a white, gives you lifelink and extort. And Treasury Thrall, it costs 4, a white and a black. And whenever it attacks, you may return target artifact, creature, or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. That's pretty useful.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. It's a 4-4 body, is it, do you say?
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite beefy. I like him a lot. You can do quite a good budget extort deck, can't you? Because there's a load of little cheapy extort creatures that really work quite well. Kingpin's Pet, Basilica Guards. Yeah, it's good. So, did you... Planeswalkers, you said you run Sorin Markov. Did you run any of the other Sorins?
I do. I run Kaya Ghost Assassin. I run Sorin Grim Nemesis and Sorin Lord of Innistrad.
So I didn't have Lord of Innistrad, but I did do Solemn Visitor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder why that is. I went for it because of the creatures you control gain +1/+0 and lifelink. But it lasts until your next turn. So it actually becomes a very defensive play on Sorin Solemn Visitor.
Right. I think I like the emblem on Sorin Lord of Innistrad.
The creatures get +1/+0.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I don't think I was running as many creatures as you. I just liked the ones I did have. It's like, because I didn't try not to attack in the game or discourage people from hitting me. Say, well, you're going to hit me, I'm going to gain life. And when I gain life, things like Aetherflux Reservoir are going to blow off in your face, to be slightly rude.
So let's see. There's the big life drain spells. These are sorceries or creatures. We got Debt to the Deathless and Exsanguinate. Grey Merchant of Asphodel. You see that guy a lot. And to a lesser extent, Kokosho the Evening Star.
You've got to be careful with Kokosho if your opponents like to play with Rite of Replication.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they hit Kokosho with a Rite of Replication kicked, they get 5 Kokoshos, 4 of which instantaneously die and drains everyone for 20.
Yeah, I use that trick in my Veil of the Nightclad.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a very good one. Rite of Replication of the Massacre Worm as well will often kill everybody, apart from yourself.
Yeah, I think I use that one too.
Yeah,
Vela is a kicked right of replication heavy deck, so to speak.
Yeah, the spell you want. It's the spell you're going to try and return to your hand more than once as well. Grey Merchant of Asphodel. What a card, eh? What a card.
Yeah, he's not even a rare.
He's not even an uncommon.
Yeah. How did that happen? It seems like he should be legendary.
Yeah, it feels like it. It's almost like Gray is an anagram for a name as well. Like Gary, for example, but is an abusable card. I've won so many games by holding Rise of the Dark Realms and kicking it off, and somebody else has got Gary in their yard. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to drain you all for 40. It's just stupid. And in black, because you can recur it over and over again. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
So drip, drip, drip type effects where you're just slowly chipping away your opponent's life total and they don't even notice that it's done a significant damage to them. You've subverted their life total.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I did there?
Subverted, yes.
Yeah, so we have subversion, which is a little bit expensive for... black enchantments, 3/2 black. During your upkeep, each opponent loses one life, and you gain life total to the amount of life lost this way. Just slowly ticks away. If you've got an Aloro player, you're doing a little bit of damage, but what your opponents really don't notice is the amount that your life is going up, as opposed to their life going down.
Yeah.
And there's the power in the card.
I found that one key trick when you're playing a combo deck like this is that you have to intentionally not be annoying when you remind everyone to lose a life. You can't say it in a taunting way. You have to, lose a life, please.
Polite.
Or else, if you keep doing that, then everyone's just going to get annoyed at you. They will notice that you're draining them drip, drip, drip.
Yeah, I think that's a good piece of advice for other cards as well. One that spring. What's the annoying card that has a trigger that the person who's reminding you of the trigger
right
always makes you go,
oh. Are you going to tap a mana for that Rhystic Study?
There he is.
Right.
There he is. Oh my God. Rhystic Study, very powerful card, but hated. Hated not because it's giving your opponent loads of really cheap value cards. Hated because of, are you going to pay the additional one? Or... you're paying one more, or at the end of the turn when they've missed three of their triggers, or I'll take it, you're not paying the additional three then. You're like,
Yeah. It makes you an interruption to the game, and if you become an annoying enough interruption, then people will just kill you to stop being annoyed.
Yeah, or at least destroy your very cool Rhystic Study. But with Cumble, it's very important not to... not just Cumble, all this kind of... sort of taxes type deck where little bits and bobs are going off all the time and small triggers going off. Just be polite. Don't be a d- if your opponent's moving fast through their turn and hasn't really given you a chance to say, wait, there's some triggers going on there on my side. Just be polite. Just say, wait a second. Don't get angry and go, hey, hang on, roll it back. What are you doing? Just be nice. Which is... I guess Campbell, who works for the consulate would be pleasant and polite, wouldn't they?
I'd hope so, if they're going to be diplomatic about it.
Yeah, you know, it's not like they have an insidious will behind any of their actions.
So to speak. So, in addition to Subversion, there is Drana's Emissary, which on your upkeep will drain one life from each of your opponents, and you gain one life. Then there is... Orzhov Guildmage and Scholar of Athreos, which give you this ability, but you have to pay mana to make it work.
Scholar of Athreos. Athreos is... did either of us run Athreos in our Campbell decks?
I did not, but you did.
Yeah. Because I had a lot of stuff like... with Enter and Leave the Battlefield triggers. Like Ashen Rider, Angel of Despair, I've already mentioned, but... things like Archon of Justice as well. People will work hard not to give you those abilities back, and it's just another good drain, Athreos. And he's pretty hard to shift off the table, being one of the Theros gods. So I would try him if I were you.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if you know you're going to recur the card anyway. So... you pay 3 life to put my Grey Merchant back in, keep it in the graveyard, put it back in hand. I'm going to pay the 3 life. Cool, goes in. I'm going to return it to the battlefield.
Yeah. And that's when you gotta exile things.
Yeah, Nate, you bugger. How dare you?
Yeah, I do. So moving on to landfall enchantments, there are things like Palace Siege, which a lot of people use for one ability, but I use it for the other one.
Mm.
Retreat to Hagra. So either of those enchantments, if you play a land, then your opponents are losing life and you're gaining it. Polluted Bonds is an enchantment where if your opponents play lands, then they lose life and you gain it.
Mm. Nobody likes having Polluted Bonds down.
Yeah.
No one playing against it, I mean. It's super powerful.
Yeah, it's. I see it a lot with Painful Quandary. I see both of those often in the same decks.
Oh, Painful Quandary.
Just to be on the annoying your opponent's theme. Annoying Tribal is what I would call it, I guess.
Ankh of Mishra, that's a good annoying tribal card, I think. It's whenever someone plays a land. It's such an old card. Yeah, normally that sort of annoying type effect I see in Mogis type decks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic annoying deck. No one likes to play against that. Whatever you do, it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Ankh of Mishra is whenever a land enters the battlefield, Ankh of Mishra deals 2 damage to that land's controller.
And that hits. That'll hit you too.
It will hit you too, but you're not normally playing the Mina and Den or Omnath deck that really could hate you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. For Creature Fall, we've already mentioned Blood Artist, we've mentioned Falcon Wrath Noble, Zulaport Cutthroat, and there's also Suture Priest can fit in there.
Suture Priest is the is a combination between Blood Artist and like Soul Warden.
Yeah. So your own creatures help you and your opponent's creatures hurt them.
Yeah, and it's a cool Phyrexian card and we all love them. I can confidently say every host of this show loves Phyrexian cards.
Oh yeah. Hey Sean, you know about the Mass Effect series, right?
I love the Mass Effect series.
Yeah. You know how the Reapers, they're like these space cuttlefish robots?
Yeah, I am very aware of them, yep.
And they can assimilate the corpses of their enemies and kind of resonate on brain waves and control their minds.
Yep.
So in a lot of ways, they're like the Phyrexians.
They, a little bit, yeah. They certainly husks and low-level completed beings have a similarity in theme, yep.
Yeah, and Mass Effect 2, and to a lesser extent Mass Effect 3, featured the Elusive Man, who was a character who professed his undying hatred for the Reapers and spent all his efforts to combat them. But you find out, spoiler, that in the end, he actually injects himself with these Reaper nanobites in order to combat them in a better way. But it turns out that he actually gets his mind controlled without even realizing it.
It's weird because Phil always reminded me of the actor Martin Sheen.
Hmm.
On a totally unrelated note. That's
yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I mean, as long as if I remember correctly, in the end of number 2, you capture a Reaper base, as a collector base, which is essentially a Reaper base. And the Elusive Man argues that that weapon can be used by him to defeat his enemies.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to destroy it.
He doesn't want you to destroy it. He wants to keep it to learn the tech and say, no, it's just a place where Reaper tech is. It isn't Reaper tech. So if you had an arena that was in Phyrexia...
Yeah, the Elusive Man just wanted you to remove all the Reaper symbols from the base, like all the iconography, so that there wasn't like a Reaper watermark behind the base.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, because you as a Shepherd, sorry, got a cough there, were inside that would make it okay if you were in the enemy base, as long as there was a cough there in the art. Ville.
So there are a few ways to drain life from target players. There's Obsidat Ghost Council is popular. Blood Chief Ascension is an enchantment that shows up in a lot of spiky decks and needs to be killed on sight.
Mill decks will, Blood Chief Ascension will win in a mill deck.
Yep. Obnixilus of the Black Oath is a planeswalker that can drain your opponents.
Yeah, he's in my deck. He's very good.
Yep, the original Soren Markov can drain your opponents when he's not setting their life total to 10.
Yeah, but if you play him and you don't minus 3 him immediately, you're the first person who's ever done that.
Yeah. Let's see, should we talk about the exquisite blood and sanguine bond combos?
Yeah, I guess so. So there's a combo I don't normally... I'll have both these cards in a deck, but I won't have them on the table at the same time because I don't like infinite combos that you can't stop. So I don't really like infinite combos full stop, but ones that you can't stop particularly don't like. Exquisite Blood says that when you an opponent is dealt damage, you gain that much life. Or when Sanguine Bond says when you gain life, an opponent loses that much damage. So they just trigger off one another. You gain some life or deal someone some damage, and you loop until everyone's dead.
Yes, Sanguine Bond has a couple of creature versions. There's Vizcopa Guildmage, which you have to pay a little bit of mana to activate it, and Cliffhaven Vampire will do it for free.
Yes, yes, it will. There's also... are you sure it's Cliffhaven Vampire? Do you mean Defiant Bloodlord? I run it in my Ailey deck as the alternative Sanguine Bond, which is why I'm...
So Cliffhaven Vampire is a 2/4 vampire warrior ally for 2 white-black flying. Whenever you gain life, each opponent loses 1 life.
Yeah, the Defiant Bloodlord will do it for the amount of life you've lost. So it is literally a Sanguine Bond on a creature. I don't know why it's not in this deck. There's an oversight.
Whereas Cliffhaven Vampire will work better in drip, drip, drip situations.
It will, yes. Yeah. It'll be a backup one. Vizcopa Guildmage is good. Note on all the Guildmages, you can activate their abilities more than once and stack them. So if you activate Vizcopa twice, you do double the damage and gain twice the life.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's good like that. People forget that you can have them on their separate triggers.
Yeah, I don't think there's a creature version of Exquisite Blood.
I've never seen one. If there is, I'd like to know about it.
Yeah. If they ever print that on a creature, then you should use it, because it will be a commander staple for years. Because Exquisite Blood works better the more opponents you have.
Do you find when you drop Exquisite Blood, all your opponents just kick the hell out of you?
They try to get rid of the Exquisite Blood. It does become a highlight of the table.
Yeah, it's one of those pulls all the hate cards.
Yeah. The thing with Exquisite Blood is, if I have more than one opponent and one of them has Purphoros, that's just fine with me. Because if everyone loses 2 life, well, 2 of my opponents are losing X life, and Exquisite Blood means I'm gaining X life.
Indeed.
So if you have Exquisite Blood on the table, it's just fine if all your opponents have Purphoros, as long as you have more than one opponent.
If you only have one opponent, it's less good.
Yeah.
So a couple of cards that white life gain decks win with. There's Felidar Sovereign, which is if during your upkeep you have 40 or more life, you win the game. And there's Test of Endurance, which is an enchantment that does the same thing. Apart from it's if you have 50 or more life, you win the game. So slightly harder to achieve. I've won with Felidar Sovereign before. It doesn't feel very satisfying.
Oh, well, it makes the game exciting for a turn as everyone scrambles to destroy it or find a counter for it or something.
Yeah, yeah. You always put it in Orzhov deck, so it didn't have like the security of counter spells to protect it. It was more like just dropping a grenade on the middle of the table and saying, can anyone find the pin to put back in? Rather than me saying, oh, get away from it, get away from it.
Yeah. And if you're doing that kind of white life gain win condition, you're probably using Rock's Faith Mender.
Alhamrat's Archive.
Yeah. And maybe even Sera Ascendant, though that won't make any friends if you do it on turn one.
Ah, it's lovely. I love that card. It's a great card.
We've talked about Aether Flux Reservoir. I'll close out my perspective of combo with one more card, Arena of the Ancients, since you're talking about pillow forts. The thing about combo is, he doesn't have to tap or anything in order for his power to work. And Arena of the Ancients is an artifact for 3, All legends become tapped when Arena comes into play, and legends do not untap as normal during the untap phase.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of your opponents are playing Voltron decks with their commander, then they're not going to like this card.
I didn't know that card at all. That's a good one. I'll have to put that into my shopping basket, sir.
Oh, it's 44 cents.
That makes it better. 44 cents.
Do you have anything more on Cumble?
He's still not shifted me off my Ailey fix, but maybe I've got a thing for core women.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Although Dahiri doesn't like my best mate Sorin, so there you go.
All right. Oh, speaking of Aetherflux Reservoir, I imagine that that would be similar to like a giant tank of gasoline. And speaking of things that use gasoline, what is a commander player to do with all of these Kaladesh vehicle cards? You could roleplay a character from the Mad Max series.
Yes.
So if you like Furiosa, you can use Dapala to represent. Immortan Joe, his motivations were all about the ladies, so that's a different deck from what I'm going to talk about. Lord Humongous from Road Warrior, he was all about acquiring the gasoline, the petrol, the oil. And as we all know, oil is colloquially known as black gold. King Makar, the gold cursed, is two in black black. See, black and gold right there on the top line. Legendary creature human, he's a 2/3. And he's inspired. This is a keyword that will be important with this deck.
Hey, he's your vehicles commander, and he even has the word car in his name.
Ah, yeah.
I'm the king, and that's my car.
That's my car. Yeah. Whenever King Makar, the gold cursed, becomes untapped, you may exile target creature. That's handy.
Mm.
If you do, then you, not them, you get a colorless artifact token named gold. And you put it onto the battlefield, it has sacrifice this artifact, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. So every time he untaps, you're eliminating someone else's creature, and you're getting a free mana.
Solid gold.
And a free artifact, if you care about that. So my Lord Humongous theme deck. On the smaller Kaladesh vehicles, the crew ability is a tap outlet for Makar. So it gives you a reason to tap him, without having to put him into combat. Now, in order to use the crew ability, you do need to be able to pay the full crew cost for the vehicle.
Mm.
So you cannot, for example, tap Makar with no power bonuses and no other creatures to partially but unsuccessfully crew a Demolition Stomper.
I did not know that.
Yeah, in that case, you can't even tap him at all.
Huh.
So Makar does need some bonus power and or creature friends to crew the larger vehicles.
Nice.
So the inspired keyword, I have a few crewmates here. Painseer and Servant of Timoret are both inspired, and they do good things for you when they untap. The new Kaladesh card, Night Market Lookout, is a very cheap creature. It's not inspired, but you like to tap it gratuitously for whatever reason you can.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In order to boost King Makar's power so that he can crew the larger vehicles, I'm using things like Lash Writhe and Hero's Blade.
Mm.
You don't have to pay mana to equip them. And if you're playing a mono-black deck, then Lash Writhe can get pretty big. Champion's Helm will give him +2 and Hexproof. And Flayer Husk is a living weapon that is cheap to cast and gives you a creature. It's good with or without the germ because you can either tap the germ to help crew the vehicle, or if the germ dies, you can stick the Flare Husk equipment on Makar and give him the bonus. And the same thing applies to Lash Writhe, which is a living weapon.
Mm.
So, the untapping shenanigans.
I know a few of these, because they're the same as the ones that turn up in Selvala deck.
Yeah. Now, if your commander has a tap ability, or an untap ability, then you know that Umbral Mantle is just going to get stupid.
Yep. Umbral Mantle's equipment, it's a 3-drop, it's a 0 mana to equip, and you can pay 2 mana, untap the equipped creature. And again, it's +2/+2. So if you've got a savage tapping ability, or untapping ability, it just goes nuts.
Yeah, I think we should add Umbral Mantle to the drinking game list.
Yeah, we do mention it quite a bit.
One thing from the Kaladesh release notes, you may activate a crew ability of a vehicle even if it's already an artifact creature. It has no effect on the vehicle's stats or changes power and toughness, but even if the vehicle's already been crewed, you can tap your creature to crew it again. So Makar could tap and untap and tap and untap and tap and retap and untap to crew the same vehicle multiple times in a turn.
That's very powerful. Another one that can do similar is Sword of the Peyrunes. That's a little bit more expensive to get the untap going, but it also pumps your team, depending whether you're tapped or untapped, by either their power or their toughness by +2.
Right.
Hmm.
I'll also mention Thornbite Staff, which is a favorite of mine. Equipped creature has 2 and tap. This creature deals 1 damage to target creature or player, and whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from play, untap this creature. So if you put this on Makar and you have the mana, then you can tap Makar, kill something, untap him for free, exile something else, and get a piece of gold.
Solid gold!
For 2 mana.
Yeah, it makes your King Makar into a super cool goblin sharpshooter. Mm. Very, very cool.
Some more Makar tap enablers if you don't have your vehicles out. There are Witch's Eye and Paradise Mantle. These are artifact equipment that are pretty cheap to play, and they give you a minor effect, but you can gratuitously tap the creature it's attached to. Black Oak of Odunus is a tree folk that gives you the ability to tap Makar. And that's really the only reason you have it in there.
Yeah, I used to use the Black Oak in a Phoenix deck.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good in a Phoenix deck for milling.
There is a land named Holdout Settlement, which I guess is kind of thematic if you're playing Mad Max, where you can tap the land and tap an untapped creature you control to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. And in the Pillow Fort category, there is a black enchantment called Koskun Falls for 2 in black. Enchant World. It's a world enchantment.
Don't see many of them nowadays.
Yeah. And the trick to those is only one of those can exist on the field at the same time across all players.
That's good. Yeah, it was the minor inspiration for Plane Chase later on down the line.
Yeah. So Koskun Falls says, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Koskun Falls unless you tap an untapped creature you control, such as King Makar. Creatures can't attack you unless their controller pays 2 for each creature he or she controls that's attacking you. So it's basically a ghostly prison or a propaganda in black.
Yeah, don't see it very often. It's pretty impressive. Taps out one of your creatures, though, I guess.
Yeah. Shout out to Midnight Banshee, which is a creature that, at the beginning of your upkeep, put a -1/-1 counter on every non-black creature on the board. Hey, during your upkeep, none of your vehicles are creatures.
Clever boy. Nice. Now, thought about that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, Nate, if I really want to do my own Mad Max roleplay fantasy deck, and I want to pretend to be Tina Turner, what's the best way of doing that?
Well, you know who runs Bartertown.
Who runs Bartertown?
Gonti runs Bartertown.
What? What? I thought it was Master Blaster.
No, Tina Turner played Auntie.
Oh, yeah, she was the queen. I always just remember the saxophone player she had hanging around her palace.
Yeah, with the Japanese banner face on his back.
As you do.
Yeah.
If I was rich, and so rich I had money just to waste on things, I would maybe just be a lord of luxury and have large kabuki saxophonists sitting around ready to tootle out a tune whenever I wanted.
So, Gonti.
Gonti. Now, I've got a lot more experience with this man than I do vehicles, or Makar for that matter. So, Gonti, Gonti, Gonti. Where do you start with him? You want to exploit that trigger. We should probably read Gonti if he's a commander we're talking about.
Okay. Gonti, Lord of Luxury. For 2 in black-black, he's a legendary creature, Aetherborn Rogue. He's a 2/3 with Death Touch. Not that any of that matters. When Gonti, Lord of Luxury, enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of target opponent's library. Pick the best one. Put it face down. And then put the rest on the bottom of that library in a random order. For as long as that card remains exiled, you don't have to have Gonti on the board.
Yeah, so I was wrong about this. My understanding of the rules was that if Gonti moved out, like died or went to the command zone or went back to a hand, you would just essentially exile the face down card forever.
No.
I was wrong. The timing on it and the way it works, it remains. You can cast it whenever you like.
Mm-hmm. And you can spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast it.
Yeah, it's stamps the card that's put down. It's not dependent on Gonti at all.
So you get to sniff through somebody else's deck for the top 4 cards, pick the best one, they don't know what you picked, and you get to save it for later. Or just play it immediately.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool. I built this the second I saw it. It's great. And Mr. Johnny Crass of our listenerdom has built a very nice Gonti deck as well. We took it in a slightly different direction to me. Right, so yeah, Gonti's very good. So the first thing you do, you've got the enter the battlefield, steal some stuff. You've got a couple of cards that can do that. There's Praetor's Grasp, which is 1 and 2 black, which allows you to essentially steal a card from an opponent's graveyard and cast it. A more fun one that you don't see very often is Hedonist's Trove. Are you aware of this spell, Nate?
Hedonist's Trove. You get their whole graveyard to look at.
Yeah, so their whole graveyard essentially gets set into a separate pile. What you can do is you can play one land from it a turn and cast a spell from it each turn. Isn't that lovely? It is 7 mana, though.
It is 7 mana. That's why I don't use it.
It does exile your opponent's graveyard, though.
Yeah, but there's cheaper ways to do that. And I usually want to do that as a surprise if I can't put out a ley line.
Your opponent will be very surprised when you cast Hedonist's Trove. So yeah, they're good cards for this deck. Other good cards that water on this, you want to get more out of your Gonti. He is obviously the Lord of Luxury, so he needs some accoutrement. You want a Panharmonicon that we spoke about earlier in the episode. So when he comes in, you get 2 bundles of 4 cards and 1 from each pile. You do have to do it as 2 bundles of 4, though. It's not 8 and pick 2. Strynic Resonator will also copy that into the battlefield trigger. And Blade of Cells. So oy, what Blade oy, of Cells would do... Blade of Cells, obviously the Gonti clones will die automatically to the Legends rule, but not before putting their triggers on the stack. So...
yeah, they do enter the battlefield.
They do enter the battlefield, so you can lock some extra cards off their deck into a separate, sort of like a special hand that you've got that needs any old colour mana to cast. You can, if you're running Gonti as your commander, there's a 100 ways of reanimating Gonti if he's dead. And I would say, of all the commanders that we've spoken about recently and in today's episode, you probably want to put Gonti into the yard rather than the command zone after you killed him.
It's kind of risky unless you have lots of ways of getting him back.
Well, luckily, Mono Black has 1 or 2 ways of getting him back.
Yeah, it does.
Nim Deathmantle is your friend. That's a great one. More about Nim Deathmantle when we one day discuss Breyer, the new four-color commander. Volrath Stronghold, slightly pricey card, but there's so much Mono Black reanimations, we could spend an entire episode talking about it. One of my highlights of it is Dread Return, though, because it's got a nice buyback clause, which it allows you to sacrifice other creatures to buy it back. And that in itself, if you're playing value black, you can, you know, one Dictate of Erebos out, you're starting to wipe the table and buy your stuff back.
Right. Or sacrifice your Grey Merchant of Asphodel, your Kokosho, and what else are you sacrificing there? Something good, and then just bring him back again.
Ashen Rider if you're in black and white, but all sorts of good stuff. Rune Scar Demon, so you can reanimate it and get an extra tutor, springs to mind as a classic.
Oh, and with Panharmonicon, does Rune Scar Demon tutor you two cards there?
He certainly does. Yeah. He certainly does. You can get double exploit triggers off of Sadisi Undead Vizier as well.
Mm.
Exploit is different to extort, kids.
Do you have to sacrifice two creatures?
You do have to sacrifice two creatures, but that's often not a problem. If you've got a Dictate of Erebos or a Grave Pact online, that's win in itself. So, what are the colours of bouncing creatures, Nate?
It's usually blue.
Blue with, what's the secondary colour for bouncing creatures?
Oh, artifacts.
Yeah, or a bit of white, a bit of ghostly, eerie interlude. That's, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but there is, as you say, artifacts that do it. So the four ones that really spring to shine out is Ancestral Statue, which Animar players will be familiar with. Cloudstone Curio, which...
That's also Animar.
Animar-tastic and... is a broken combo piece if you've got the right cards. Conjurer's Closet, which many decks are familiar with. And one that you don't see very much, but is great, is Erratic Portal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a 4-mana artifact. Pay one and tap it. Return target creature to its owner's hand unless its controller pays one.
And you could use it on your own creatures, and yeah, I don't want to pay one.
No, look at that. I'll have my Enter the Battlefield trigger back for next turn. And then, of course, ninjas.
Oh, yeah. You didn't use any ninjas.
I didn't use any ninjas, and I kind of regret not using... So the reason I didn't use ninjas is I had my ninjas in a Dimir deck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I only owned one copy. So I have a policy, one copy of each of them, and I have a policy of not brewing with a card unless I've got it to hand in paper.
Oh, are they in your Veil of the Nightclad deck?
They are in a Veil of the Nightclad deck.
I thought so.
Yeah. So we've got some good rat ninjas going on here. But anything with ninjutsu would do. But you've got, let me just pull the best ones up.
Throat Slitter.
So ninjutsu destroy a target non-black creature when it comes in.
Ink Eyes.
You beat me too on that one. Ink Eyes, Servant of Oni is... not only awesome because you get to reuse Gonti, but is totally on theme for the whole deck. It is just quality. So, okay, so Inkai Servant of Oni. It's got Ninjutsu. Wait, he's a 5-4. He's a 5-4 legendary creature rat ninja, which is 4 and 2 black to cast. It's quite expensive, 6 mana. But you never want to cast this spell, Nate. It's got Ninjutsu for 3 and 2 black. And if you pay that, return an unblocked attack you control to your hand. Put this card onto the battlefield from your hand, tapped and attacking. So that's how you sneak it in. And whenever Ink Eyes Servant of Oni deals combat damage to a player, you may put target creature card from that player's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. And if that wasn't enough, you could pay one and a black and regenerate Ink Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a great card. It's a card everyone hates the art for. I really like it.
It's hard to figure out what's going on in the art unless you look at it for a bit.
The angle of the... if it were a camera shot, the angle is on a tilt, isn't it?
Yeah, the camera is tilted like 30 degrees to the right.
Yeah.
Kind of like in the Adriana Captain of the Guard picture.
Have you ever looked at the art for Fathom Feeder, Nate?
Oh, yeah.
That card is completely tilted and looking... the wrong way. It's almost like in the original art, if it was not tilted, the Fathom Feeder is looking almost directly up.
Hmm.
Is that, I don't see it, or...?
No, I see it. Yeah, it's tilted.
Yeah, it's weird, eh? It took me a while before I noticed that, because it's an Eldrazi full art card.
Hmm.
So, that's it with Gonti. I mean, he's a fairly solid mono-black control shell with lots of sacrifice effects and dictate effects. But you've got the added sort of fun of blue-white flicker into the battlefield type shenanigans without needing blue in there. It's really odd to play with, but super good fun.
And you have the fun of playing all your opponent's cards.
Yeah, who doesn't love that? what black mage has got two thumbs and loves doing that? Oh, this guy. And I'm aware that this is wasted in an audio format. I'll send you a photo of me giving myself the thumbs, Nate, for the YouTube channel.
Okie doke.
Any comment on Gonti from you, Nate?
No, that's good.
All right, awesome. Do you want me to do the outro?
Sure.
So, thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you would like to support the podcast for all the good things we put in your ears, head over to Patreon and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We love our listeners. Phil especially loves your listeners. And we hope you love him too and wish him some get well messages on Twitter. And we're incredibly grateful to all of our patrons. So come and get your gratitude. And all of you, we love you all. As we say, Phil isn't feeling very well. So please send him your get well messages. Better yet, come play test with us. And if you donate $10 or more per episode, you can join our exclusive patron chat we hold over at Facebook and try and get access to cool competitions and prizes and our contest to win the signed boxes for, we'll go over that in a sec. We've got an awesome contest I'll cover in just a moment. It's still going on. Yeah, Phil's going to chip in some audio, we hope, for this. But that's still going on. Phil, do you have something to say about that?
I sure do. I sure do. I love Phyrexian, Mr. Smith.
Well, it's Mr. Watson, actually, Phil, but thanks for saying that.
I just can't get enough of all the praetors, and I renounce greed and everything it stands for.
Why, Phil, that's a surprise.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Phil. That's really helpful. Your voice sounds different when you've got a fever, doesn't it, Phil?
Our theme song was done by me. Our logo was done by Mr. Picto and Kelly. And Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank and Justin did the tech whizzing and the server spacing.
The tech whizzing and the server spacing?
Yep.
My, Mr. Wonka, that's amazing.
You can reach us by going to our website, commanderandmtg.com. You can send email to Phil at cast@commanderandmtg.com.
Ah, Phil.
You can play test against Sean or myself by joining our Facebook group.
You can. You can. I was about to say, some people ask on Twitter about when we play test. All the time. We're all in literally international time zones. So come join our Facebook group by finding us off our Facebook page and we'll find someone to play with you.
Yeah, we each have our own schedules.
Yep.
And they overlap sometimes.
Hey, Nate, who are you on Twitter?
I'm at Mr. Plorg.
Excellent. I'm at Copain26. Mm. And Phil, what are you on Twitter?
I'm at Catjack. Catjack spelled with a K and an E and a T and a J and another A and a K.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for spelling that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Phil, can you take us out?
And that's our show. Gee willikers, mister.
I don't know if he's going to hate that or not, but you know. Bless his carny socks.
Mandarin.
So we're going to talk about what we've been playing instead of whatever this is in the news section.
If you have an Ishai Ojutai to Dragon Speaker deck, you can talk about that since he's a bird and it's Thanksgiving.
I don't. I was building. I genuinely was building one.
Oh, okay.
But it was, you know, when you start building a deck and you get halfway through it and you lose interest because it's,
it seems too easy.
Yep. It was one of those.
Was it with Bruce Tarl or Rayhan?
It was with Brucey Bruce.
Right. Yeah, he's like a Boros version of Xenagos, basically.
Yeah. So, like Xenagos, but not as good.
I don't know. He's pretty good, though. If he's in your command zone, he can just show up whenever you want.
Yeah, and punch someone to death.
And you got the colors for Gisella or Aurelia to quadruple, octuple your damages.
You're probably going to kill someone by that point. I hit someone so hard on a counterswing that they gave up our evening of magic and just threw us all out of their house last night.
Be nice to the host.
So he was playing Xenagos, which is what you made me think of, and I had Kaideli / Ikrashadiki Siltai Eldrazi, right? And I have on the table 9 mana and Kozilek, Butcher of Truth, Annihilator Kozilek. He has a load of crappy Xenagos stuff, and he just says to me, "You won the last game, I'm going to smash you for 18 damage.
Oh, I say that sometimes to you.
That's true. So it's my turn next. I'm going straight after him. I take my 18 damage like a champion. And I say, you will regret that decision. He says, I'm sure I won't. Okay. So I kicked Rite of Replication and Acidic Slime that's on another player has. Destroy 5 of his permanents, so like Asceticism, a couple of mana rocks, a couple of lands.
Yep.
He's only got one creature left, which was the Inferno Titan that had been doubled and stuff.
Oh.
And then fired at me with Xenagod. Xenagos is not devoted, so I swing with Kozilek and say, Annihilator 4, enjoy that.
Mm.
To which he scooped up and said, we're not playing any more games tonight. That was game 2.
Wow. Did he regret it?
Yeah. Everyone at the table told him to essentially grow up.
But no.
And he did grow up.
Oh, he did.
He sat and moped while we finished our game. And then afterwards we were like, are you really doing that? Because we're just going to not come and play around here anymore. If you're ending the evening an hour in, then you're ending your evening for the foreseeable future. Because we're all men in our 30s and 40s. And you're acting like a man in his, well, a child, sorry, in his, fours. So, he ruminated and then continued playing.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah, I hit him so hard, I nearly knocked him out of magic, is the way I like to see it.
Yeah, you gotta take your losses gracefully.
Well, yeah, and, like, don't hit the guy who's got 9 open mana and a Kozilek sitting on the table.
I don't know about that. I think that person might need to be hit.
Mm.
But that's just me.
Mm.